I count it a privilege, brethren, to be with you today and to stand before God's people. It's a scary thing, and I want to get it right. I want to honor God and say what's right according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and according to God's written word. Please pray for me that I'll be able to do that. God will bless me to do that, and that you and I will hear the word of the Lord. This past week at Frank, Brother Edward McIntyre said a number of times, pray for Brother Mike and pray for yourselves. And that obviously is what's needed. God bless us today. Giving thanks. I want to preach to you about giving thanks. Would you turn to the call to worship we've been using the last three Sundays? We used it again today. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to read some additional verses, plus the ones we've been using for our call to worship. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First of all, Lord willing, I'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and then 7 through 13. This is a historical account of what happened after the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. It had been in the house of a man named Obed-Edom, as I understand it, for a long time. It had been lost to Israel and was returned back into Israel, and now it's being brought to Jerusalem by King David through the mercy and grace of God. It's returning to where it should be. So this is chapter 16, 1 Chronicles, verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. Let me just stop here, brethren, to say this is a happy, wondrous day of thanksgiving. Lots of excitement going on here. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He apparently spoke to the people. There were, in one place it says around 30,000. I don't know if that was just men or if there was women and children including in that, but there was lots of people, large crowd. And the king apparently stood before the people and blessed them in the name of the Lord. Verse 3, and he, David, dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Then the psalm begins, and we're going to read just a portion of it. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. I'm going to stop there, brethren. If I read that correctly, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and then 7 through 13. God, add your blessing to the reading of your word and bless me to preach your word, I beg you. Get honor and glory, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The ark of God, brethren, you see in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God. That's the ark of the covenant. It goes by several different names. One I'm used to mostly is the ark of the covenant. It was a box. It was made of wood, durable wood, and it was overlaid with gold. And God had given specific instructions for the construction of that ark. It was about this long, and about this wide, and about this high. I think the length and the height were equal, and the width was narrower. We don't have a picture of it. God describes it. He gives us the dimensions of it in the book of Exodus so we can figure out how big it was. And he describes it, the materials to be used. And on either end were cherubim or angels stretched out with their wings stretched out toward one another. It's just the words say that they will stretch out their wings toward one another. And artists have drawn the ark, at least based on the description of in Scripture, and we can get a good idea of what it looked like. That ark was made in the wilderness when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. It was constructed. That and the tabernacle that moved with them through the wilderness and the furnishings of the temple, God was very, very specific on materials and size and so on in that. And so that ark was placed in the holy place, the holiest, holy of holies in the temple. Not the holy place, but the holy of holies. And it stayed there, and it moved when the temple moved, the tabernacle moved. The tabernacle was a tent. And the ark now, that so when we read in chapter 16, verse 1, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. That's a wonderful day of celebration in the nation of Israel. It's put in a tent in Jerusalem. I think in a place called the City of David. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was brought home and people rejoiced. The ark of God was placed in the tent. The ark, brethren, was God's dwelling place between those cherubim. God manifested himself in the days of the traveling of the Israelites through the wilderness. He, when that temple was constructed and finished, completed, brethren, God's presence came into that tabernacle, and it was so great that the Levites, and they couldn't stay in there for the present, the Shekinah glory of God, which is an indication that they built it the way he wanted it built. And so he let that be known by manifesting his presence there. And you see, brethren, why it was so special to anybody that loved God that the ark of God would be back in Jerusalem. And one of those people that was so glad was the man David, the King David, the shepherd boy, warrior, now King David. And he danced before the ark. Did you know that? He danced. When it was coming back in, brethren, he danced. And his wife named Michal, Saul's daughter, oh, she got mad. She said, aren't you something? That's my expression. And you've showed out today. And he said, well, I'll show out some more. By the way, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to dance before the ark of God. I'm dancing before God. She said, you're the king. You ought to have more dignity than that. My words. And he said, I'll dance some more. He was happy. He was happy. He blessed the people. And they had a Thanksgiving meal. I said last week at Frank, I said, when the teacher tells you about the first Thanksgiving and the pilgrims and the Indians, I said, just say, ma'am, I beg your pardon, but that was not the first Thanksgiving. I know of one more. I know of one that occurred long before that. And you can read about it in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. They had a Thanksgiving, brethren. David offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. And when he got through with that, he stood and he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of them. I love this. Verse 3. Both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. I love that, brethren. They celebrated. They celebrated. It was on David. I guess it was on. He was a wealthy man. I guess he furnished the food. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they celebrated, brethren. You know why they did it? Because, brethren, they loved God. And this thing that represented his presence, the fact that he was the God of Israel, he's our God, and he loves us, and he's manifest his presence here over and over. We love him, and we thank him. Giving thanks, as we just sang, giving thanks. That's a wonderful day right there of celebration and thanksgiving. And he appointed David. He did several things this day, brethren. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record, to make a record. And listen to this, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. He thanked God. But you know what, brethren? He appointed people, if you look in verse 41 of this same chapter, he appointed certain ones to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. And those men, brethren, twice a day were to formally give thanks, morning and evening, give thanks. I said over at Frank last week, I said, David didn't want God to be unthanked. The Word of God says, in the New Testament, that in the latter days, men will be, among other bad things, they will be unthankful. And David knew that we tend to be unthankful. And so he appointed some Levites. I mean, you can't. He needed to be thankful himself also, but he appointed some men to do, your job is to give thanks morning and night, morning and evening. God bless him for that. That's the Ark of the Covenant. It's back now. That Ark of the Covenant, brethren, do you remember back when it was constructed early on in their wilderness journey, and they followed that Ark of that Covenant. When it moved, they moved. God made a cloud to guide them by day and a fire by night. And when those things moved, they moved. When they stopped, they made camp. When those things stopped. And that Ark, brethren, not only did God manifest himself there, but that ark, brethren, they followed it, and it got them where they needed to go. And it followed them, it led them for 40 years in the wilderness, and right at the end of the journey, brethren, that ark led them over a flood-swollen river that they otherwise couldn't cross. God said to Joshua, you're going to head over to Jericho now, you're going to cross over. And maybe Joshua said, this isn't recorded in Scripture, but maybe Joshua thought and said, well, how are we going to get over this river? It's out of the banks. How are we going to do that? And God said, well, when the priests and Levites pick up the Ark of the Covenant, you just follow it. And you just follow it. And you'll be all right. Now, that's my words. But God said, follow it. And brethren, what happened? The priests, they headed down to the river. And brethren, when their feet hit the water in the edge of that roaring river, you know what? It stopped. It started welling up over here on this. Say it's flowing this way. Your right to left. My left to right going this way. And this water just ran right on down the riverbed. And it left a dry place here for them. And they went over on dry ground. The Ark of the Covenant, brethren. That's how, no wonder David was glad to get it in his hometown. No wonder. I'd like to have it too. No, I wouldn't. I don't want it because I got something better, brethren. I got something better. And I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. They crossed over and there were 12 tribes of them, and they took 12 stones out of that riverbed and they made a memorial. And I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to move on. In the Ark of the Covenant, brethren, was a pot of manna. You remember what the manna was? Bread from heaven every day, every morning, except on the Sabbath. It was there when they woke up and they gathered it up and they made bread out of it. It was good. It was good. And it sustained them all their wilderness journey through. Aaron's rod that budded was in there. It was a walking stick. At my house in North Georgia, I've got a stick. I cut down an oak tree about 2-3 years ago. And I skinned all the bark off of it, and that thing is dry as anything. It's just a piece of wood. It's a stick. I keep it. And I walk. When I go, Jan makes me walk, I use my walking stick. And it's dead, brethren, it's dead. Aaron had a rod, something like that, I think. And you know what that rod did? It was just as dry as my walking stick. It budded. It budded almond leaves and sprouts, and it brought forth fruit. That was in the ark. The manna was in the ark. That was in the ark. You know what else was in the ark? 10 commandments. Two tables of stone. The law was written on the 10 commandments. Were all in there. They were in the ark. No wonder David was glad to get it back. All right. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And here is the psalm. And I'm just going to go over these first few verses and make some comments, brethren, then we're through. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. David, brethren, was thankful, and he wanted the people to be thankful. And he wrote this psalm to help you and me give thanks. Isn't it amazing, brethren, that on that day, and that happened, and David, by inspiration of God, wrote this song. Isn't that something that we can read the words of it ourselves? Now, in the year 2021, isn't that amazing? Only God can do that, brethren. Here's the words of it. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. I want to stop here and say to you, brethren, that we've been on Sunday night for months, we've been studying in 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter. Well, we're not going to study that tonight unless God intervenes. What we're going to do tonight is what I'm reading to you right now, what I'm preaching to you right now. This is what we're going to do. So I want to tell you now, so brethren, you can be thinking about it, what you're going to say tonight. You're going to say to me and you're going to say to your brethren. I want you tonight, brethren, to give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. I want you to make known His deeds among the people. If you read this psalm, and it's also recorded in number 105 in the book of Psalms, some or all of this is in there. You can read that this afternoon if you want to, and it'll give you some things to thank God for. The deeds of God among the people. David gives us an outline. He gives us a list of things God's done for the people of Israel, for God's people. And I want you to, please, brethren, I want you to tell us about some of those things if you want to, but I want you also to make known to us what God's done in your life, what He's done for you. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Tell us about it, brethren. Sing unto Him. We've already done that, haven't we, this morning? I love singing these new songs. They're kind of hard to learn. It's hard to get the beat and this pattern of the thing, but I'm struggling. I'm trying, and I love it. We learned some new songs. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. You see, brethren, that's not just a suggestion. David says, we got a lot to be thankful for. Let's do it. Let's do it. And this is good ways to do it. Sing unto Him. I was thinking, you know, there's a verse that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And people joke about that sometimes. They say, well, I can't sing, but I make a joyful noise. That's simply what God tells us to do. You know what I thought about this morning when I was over there? I was thinking, I was going over my lesson. I thought about this, about that verse, make a joyful noise. How some people say, well, I can't sing. Listen, God says, sing to me. So you can sing. Now here's an illustration. Here's something I thought about, brethren. I want to ask you this question. There are some people that just have voices like angels. They can sing. You give them a piece of sheet music and they can read it. And not only can they read it, maybe they've never even heard it. They can read it and they can sing it out there just beautifully. And there's some people that have sung the same hymn all their lives, and boy, it doesn't sound melodious. But let me ask you, here it is. Listen, what if the person was in the top 10 of beautiful voices in the whole world. This person's in the top 10, and they sing a hymn. And then there's a person who's singing a hymn. They're in the top 10 of the worst voices in the whole world. Top 10, and they sing a hymn. Let me ask you this. What if the one that sings so beautifully, as he or she is standing and singing, is thinking about ungodliness or the world, but they got the most beautiful voice you can hear. And this old saint here who can't carry a tune in a bucket, as we usually say, is giving his or her heart to God when they're singing it. And it just sounds to our ears not so good. Which one you think God rather hear? Which one's He pleased with? Of course, the one who sings from the heart. So brethren, God doesn't say, He may say it somewhere, but He sure doesn't say here, sing me a beautiful melody. He just says, sing to me. So sing, brethren, sing to God. Sing in your car, sing in the shower, sing in church, just sing to God. Sing psalms unto Him. It's a way of praising God and thanking Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Talk about Him. Talk about what He's done. I talk about it every Sunday up here, morning and night. I want you to talk about it tonight. I'll talk about it too, because I can't restrain myself probably, but I want you to talk about it tonight. So follow along here and get some ideas. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. If you want to glory in something, brethren, glory in God. Glory in God's holy name. Holy and reverend is His name, and glory in it. Don't use it in vain. Glory in God's holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Don't seek your own strength. Don't go in your own strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Seek His face continually. Oh, that's a good admonition right there, brethren. What does Paul say? Pray without ceasing? Here's David saying, seek God's face continually. Always. Let it be your manner of living. Look at number 12. Remember. Call to mind. Think back. Search your memory. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. God's done some marvelous works, brethren. He's done them. They're recorded in His Word right here. But also, I got several recorded in my mind that He's done in my life. Marvelous works that He has done. I'll share some with you tonight. If there's a lull, I hope there isn't. I hope y'all will just flood the place with thanksgiving to God. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Now, who's He talking to? Again, I've asked this question this week a number of times. Verse 13, who is David talking to here? Who, by the inspiration of God, is he speaking to? The seed of Israel, His servant, the children of Jacob, and best of all, His chosen ones, you and me, chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. You chosen people, thank God for it. You chosen people, tell of His wondrous works. You chosen people, glory in His holy name. Do it. It's Thanksgiving. It's time to do it. It's always time to do it. Well, I didn't look at my notes, and I covered what I had in there and what I needed to say. And I'm going to close with this. We had Jan and I, our devotion this morning is from Lamentations, and it's Lamentation 3:58. O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. That's what Jeremiah said. The writer of the devotion said Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and he was down in a dungeon at one time. They let him down, tied some rags around him, and let him down in the mire of a dungeon. And he stayed there. I can't remember how long. I don't know if we're told that. A long time. And then they pulled him out. He had a tough time, Jeremiah did. But you know, and the writer of the devotion said, the book is Lamentations. He's the weeping prophet. But he's rejoicing, brethren, because he says, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. God's intervened. God's there for him. And he is giving thanks. And I'm going to leave you, brethren, with this quote and then a verse. Here's the quote. A grateful spirit. We're talking about Thanksgiving, brethren. A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian. This week at Frank, I said, thanks. You know, the definition I gave you all the last few Sundays, thanks. Kindly and grateful thoughts. And then the second part is expressions of gratitude. You think of something kind that's been done to you. And you're grateful. And so you blurt it out. You voice it. You verbalize it. That's what Thanksgiving is. And I said, where in the last night of the meeting, I used the scripture we used last Sunday. Be ye thankful, from the New Testament, Colossians. Be ye thankful. And I said this weekend, maybe said to you last Sunday, I said, a thankful spirit, be ye thankful, has to be cultivated, brethren. You have to grow it. like a plant or a garden or a field or a crop. You have to grow it. You have to grow that way. You have to think about it. You have to do it. Be ye thankful. It's a condition of your psyche. It's a condition of your thinking. It's a condition of your spirit to be thankful, but you've got to grow it. You've got to help it grow. A grateful spirit, and I had not read this when I was talking about how to be thankful, grow to be thankful. This is what one man says. A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian. You see, you got to be working on it all the time, cultivate it. And especially after deliverances, we should prepare a song for our God. Sing to our Lord. Earth, here's a good one. Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints. Isn't that good? Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints. And every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. You've seen these priests walk around with a censer. They've got coals and incense in a little metal great cage there. It's on a chain and they're holding it. They're walking around and the incense is going everywhere. That's a picture of the prayers of the saints and maybe other things too. But this writer says, every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. Well, brethren, this is what I want to say to close. I hope, brethren, that I will, and I hope that you will, be more thankful this week and on the day we call Thanksgiving than we've ever been in our lives. It's possible for that to happen, and I hope it will. But you and I have to cultivate it. We have to work on it. We have to be thankful. So I hope you will. I'm going to try to be, brethren. I'm going to try to do it. And tonight will help us as we tell one another and we testify before God and our brethren things that we are thankful for. And I'm going to close with this right here. I started with thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that is, God's unspeakable gift is Jesus, and it's salvation through Jesus. It's redemption through Jesus. I started out with that as the most important thing to any of us. It outdistances everything else by a long way. And I close with this verse. Let the redeemed, if the unspeakable gift has come and redeemed you, let the redeemed of the Lord, two words, what?
Say so.
Say so. Amen. So let's say so tonight, brethren. Let's do it.